All right, we're going to get started. Sorry for the delay. A few things to take care of before we got started. Let's go ahead and get started. We've got a bunch of questions loading in, so let's do it. What's the dog doing? The dog is currently in one of their barking sprees where they just want to bark at everything. If you give me like 2 seconds, though. Hey, Google, turn on living room lights. And that's turning them off. Good job, though. Hey, Google, turn on living room lights. Do you ever like speak to your home assistant like you're a robot and you realize this is like ironic? I'm speaking like a robot to my robot because my robot doesn't understand English, and you have to like do that. So that's cool. All right, so we got lights now. Actually, they're not maximum brightness. 1 second. Hey, Google, set living room lights to maximum brightness. If you like break between the words and make it really obvious, voice assistants will get you. Feta, come. And I got ya. Oh dear, don't fall. All right, now my webcam's doing the thing where it doesn't recognize that it exists. I need a new one, right? But I don't use it for anything other than like showing off my dog, so I don't. All right, there we go. You got dog cam now. Enjoy. All right, cool. We can go ahead and get started. Oh, look at that. We can get started with questions. This is what the dog's doing. So that's that question done. Or how are you doing? I'm very tired. Like I might be coming down with something. I don't want to say like COVID or anything like that, but I just like, I felt horrible this morning and was really struggling to not puke everywhere. So that was fun. I'm just going to be like chugging water, probably taking it a little bit easier today. That's what December's for anyway. But like I didn't make it to bed. I did eventually, but like I sat on the couch because I was like, all right, I'm going to sit on the couch for just 5 minutes before I go to bed because I'm feeling a bit woozy. So I sat on the couch. Then I woke up on the couch at like 7 a.m. and went to my actual bed. I'm sure I'm fine. I just need to like take it easy a bit. Nuki says, any new interesting developments? I mean, other than curses yesterday, I was so excited to see that like partially broken for a little bit, but hey, I got it resolved. Nuki says, what was the last interesting thing you did? I extensively read the Path of Exile patch notes for, I don't even know the patch number. It's like, where are we? 0.1.0e. E. I excitingly read those to myself because there's lots of changes there that I'm very excited about. What is the next interesting thing that I'm working on? So I've got to get joined by URL fixed up. There's a couple of issues I need to fix that were found in code review. I also want to do like a freshy go at it in VR. What we want to make sure is that adding that doesn't distract from or cause any issues with VR in terms of sort of extra prompts or warnings or anything like that. Once I'm done with that, I don't know, it's December, right? I gotta like tidy up a bunch of stuff. I did fix a cross-site scripting vulnerability on go.resonate.com last night. That was also fun. That was just a little one. It's kind of difficult because in Resonate, we've got the RTF formatting that allows you to sort of color world names, color session names, stuff like that. But that isn't a standard. Like it's manually written. And because it's manually written, it's actually full of sort of quirks about it that are not HTML. And so when the session name comes into go.resonate.com, I need to make it actually HTML, and then I treat it as actually HTML. And so if someone adds a script tag to their world name, it was XSSing go.resonate.com. But hey, I fixed that. Thank you for the security report. That was the security report that came through. And finally, can I give a PSA about the Avatar Station? Unfortunately, I cannot. This is not a place to advertise that. Venport would like the cursor lore. Okay, I've got to do this one-handed, because you can see I'm now, like, if I move my arm, he's going to fall. So I'm going to do this one-handed. I'm going to go ahead and open up Paint, though. Where'd my tools go? Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know you could do that. Right. Is audio okay? I'm seeing some comments that, like, audio isn't okay. Let me know if it's problematic. Let's go ahead and lock last week's thread as well. Seems fine. All right, cool. I just wanted to double-check. I saw some complaints. Yeah, we're recording. I don't know if I'm going to remember to upload it, but you know, that's what it is. It is what it is. It is what it is. Yes. Share my screen. Paint. Welcome to Paint. So in Resonite, cursors are basically a rectangle, right? And they've got your like cursor image on them, which we'll just do as an X. And the rectangle moves around to basically follow the position of your laser. Which is fine, but historically what we had done is we had sized this rectangle based on the image size. So, you know, you've got an image and it's X by Y, and it meant that this rectangle here was also X by Y. But the problem is that when you like interact with stuff or grab with stuff, like a different image, like a bigger one or a smaller one, or in some cases like a rectangular one like I've drawn was being used. And so there was a lot of code in place that basically said like, ah, for grab, because the grab cursor is a different resolution, make the grab cursor 2 times bigger or something like that. And it was just a pain to sort of figure out. Additionally, added into that, there's like a complex hierarchy of slots going on when it comes to the cursor. And each of those had like a scaling operation going on for some reason, going up to the top. And so what I did was I collapsed all of these down. And now everything is based on a cursor image that is 128. That's not an 8. You know what I mean? I'm drawing one-handed. What do you expect? But that's also 128. This is an 8, apparently. It looks like a shoe. So they're both 128. And what that means is every single cursor image is 128 by 128. And we're able to then base everything on that sort of system as though that's a grid or a unit. So like that's one unit. And then we can scale everything up and down. Additionally, I changed up this hierarchy, as I said, on the left here, such that each one is much clearer about what's going on. So we use different parts of the hierarchy to scale differently depending on what's going on and stuff like that. We're also using different quad sizes as well, because when you have an image, what you actually have is like a cursor, which is a quad, and then the quad has a material on it, which is the image. And sometimes those things can be smaller than others, depending on which one you use, which material you use. But I made the quad size 1 by 1, and then I put the image on it, and then I shrink or grow the image. Everything is based on like a standardized scale, and everything is based on a 128 by 128 grid. And this includes the dash cursor as well as the in-world cursor, because those two used different code bases. They now use the same code base, which makes cursors just a lot more stable and consistent, because they're all based on the same mathematics. It's actually something I do a lot in Resonite as well, is I see like really complicated cursor in paint is horrible. I just can't see it. I see like really complicated hierarchies. You know, you've got like a bunch of slots and it's like, this is scale 111. And then this is scale 0.231. And then this is 111. And then this is like 0.2. And it's just a nightmare to figure out how big things are, because you're going like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down with the mathematics, trying to figure out like how big is this, right? But with the new hierarchy, it's very clear which ones are scaled, and most of them are 1 by 1 by 1, which means that it's easy to basically say, hey, we want this to be lower or smaller or bigger, depending on what's going on. It honestly was just like a really odd old piece of the code base. So yeah, that's the cursor law, at least. He looks ridiculous. Look at him. He's so cute. All right, so we did the cursor law. Let's see what's next. Home Assistant, Resonite when. I've seen people do that. Some people use Voice Attack to do it. Voice Attack can take voice commands and convert them to key presses. So I've seen some people do that. Home Assistant itself, though, is like a server. And so it becomes weird unless you want to like tie that server to a particular user. So it's a bit odd. All right, I didn't see any other questions. So this is Fella. This is my dog. Hi. Say hi. This is their paw. Their other paw appears to be here. Smeagol says, is there any roadmap in place in regards to frame rate performance? Yes, please read the announcements channel. We have a bunch of information there about what we're doing and stuff. I actually don't know when that is. Yeah, I need to do a better job at like providing, I don't know, like a wiki page or something for people to read about that. But yeah, we are currently working on performance. It just doesn't look like a working performance because we're working on like random stuff that is tangentially related to performance, but is not immediately obvious that it is performance. But yes, we are working on making the performance better. We actually had a performance benefit this recent update. We had a bug report from a user that we were constantly registering setting handlers for feet, and we're doing that. Yeah. We were doing that, so we fixed that one up. You're gonna fall asleep like this, aren't you? What do you have to say to the world about fossil fuels, Fedder? You want the mic? I can get you the mic. What do you want to say to the world about fossil fuels? There you go, the mic's all yours.
speak right into the mic there. You don't want to comment on fossil fuels? Okay. What about global warming? Capitalism? Taxes? The floor's yours. Go on. What do you want to talk about?
He wants to talk about biscuit, like kibble, treats. Yeah, I'm not doing a Twitch stream. I would like... The thing that I like about office hours, it's also like weird because like everyone else that does office hours calls them office hours, even though they're like their own thing now. They're sort of like their own shows. The reason why I do it this way is because I don't want there being any barriers in place for me doing it. I just hit a button and then I'm suddenly talking to you all. If it's a Twitch stream, I have to like get OBS, start it up, probably get in VR, and then you have to look at like, you know... It's like a different environment. Whereas here, I'm talking to the void. It's easier to set up and everything. Hi, Feta. Yeah. Hi. What you doing? Ah, a question. I just missed it. Phoenix, I'm fairly new to Resonite, but vaguely remember in the Neos era, there was an experimental Quest standalone build. That's Neos. We don't have one of those here. We want to eventually look at standalone support. We just have to do it after all, and I mean all of the performance work. Because never forget that standalone headsets are... basically mobile phones. Like they're like some of them literally run Android, some of them run other operating systems, but they're basically mobile phones that you strap to your face, and that means that like their hardware specs are a lot less than any computer. There's also the problem that like companies keep cancelling those as well. So I think MetaQuest 3 is probably going to stick around for a bit, but MetaQuest Pro got cancelled. Who knows, you know, maybe they'll cancel MetaQuest 3 and come out with, I don't know, they'll probably call it something stupid, like the MetaQuest 3X4, and make it really confusing for people. Hey, if the next Xbox has X in it as its name, I'm going to scream, right? The next Xbox has to be named something completely different, because it's so confusing right now. Call it, like, maybe the Xbox Feta. So if I ever complain about the fact that I don't have hands, this is what I mean. Like, if I move either of my hands right now, this dog is just going to slide off my lap and fall on the floor. I do like the, like, PlayStation's having a little bit of a weird time due to the PS5 Pro, but, and Sony making some weird games, but, you know, it's really easy to understand. It's like, hey, I want the latest PlayStation console. Oh, you want the PS5 then? It's like, oh, I heard there's a PS4. Is that better? No, clearly, because it's the PS4. Oh, we have a question here. Mr. Dab says, can Resonite run on consoles? Nope. It probably can in the future. We just have to sort of figure it out. That would require Source. By the way, once we have Source and we have all the performance updates, that doesn't mean that we can instantly get standalone, because when it comes to standalone, like it isn't the same architecture as Windows or any other operating system that's on an actual computer, and so our performance benefits probably wouldn't work the same. For example, we talk a lot about multi-process, but is multi-process something we can even achieve on a standalone device? I don't know. If it's an Apple device or a Meta device, they'll probably be like, you can't run multiple processes, go away. Oh, and pay us $400 million just to get the SDK. That's what they'll probably do. Jack has asked, what parts of the engine do you really want to look at work on the future? I really want to fix up logging. Logging just, it bothers me that it's so difficult to read logs, manage logs, all sorts of stuff like that. I experimented with a bunch of other loggers. For those who use C#, you'll know that there is the iLogger interface. So I want to make sure that we go across to the iLogger interface probably first. And what that allows me to do is replace the logging interface anytime during the future without upsetting things. That's the benefit of C# interfaces. It'll be a lot better once we have that for logging. I know it's a really silly thing to do, but we could do a lot of improvements there. You know when like two different exceptions are logged to the log at the same time? That wouldn't happen anymore. And that would be really helpful with debugging, because you're scrolling through an exception and then you realize this is two exceptions. They're just being printed to the log file at the same time. But beyond that, I'm really interested in one of the metrics that we are looking at when it comes to performance, but like one of the metrics I want to focus on for a little bit when it comes to performance is time to first meaningful interaction. And what do I mean by that? It sort of comes from a speedrunner sort of area, but also from like UX studies, etc. But it's how long does it take between you hitting go on Resonite via Steam or whatever you launch it from, and you being able to meaningfully interact with the engine? And in that case, I don't mean like focusing into it or wiggling around or something like that. What is the first meaningful interaction that you might do? So it might be, hey, join a session, open an avatar, open a world, speak to someone, stuff like that. How long does it take you to get from zero to that? sorry. And my guess right now would be roughly sort of between 1 and 3 minutes. That's how it sort of roughly goes out. I've timed it a few times. What if that was 1 minute? What if that was 30 seconds? How fast could that be? And could that be something interesting? So I kind of want to look into that a little bit. I'm unsure like what benefit that would be before we do the other performance work. So that's why I haven't been looking into it. But the one of the business clients is asking us to look into it. And so I'll do a bit of research and take a look and figure it out. That'll probably just be research, right? I'll take a look and see, this area is long and takes a long time, and this area that's long that takes a long time will be fixed by this other item, right? So there might not actually be any work associated with there. It might just be like a research effort, but it'd be good to know what we need to do anyway. Once the time till the first meaningful interaction is down, we can then start focusing on the next one, which is time till the intended interaction, which is how long does it take before they can do what they intended to do. And that's where you start looking at things like, hey, how fast is avatar creation and stuff like that. But yeah, if going to zero to joining a world, if that was 30 seconds rather than like 2 to 3 minutes, I would love things. But I don't know how we get there. Dab Dab says, currently, SR AnyPal, when eye tracking disconnects, if I reboot SR AnyPal, only face tracking comes back. Yeah, report that as a bug. We'll take a look at it when we can. Feather really likes putting their head in like nooks and crannies, you know, like dark corners. They like their eyes being covered when they're asleep, which is something I've never seen with a dog, right? Usually dogs just sort of like lie on their bed and fall asleep. This dog wants his eyes covered. He wants to be like in a safe, dark space. So we'll often tuck his nose here where it is. This is sort of, you know, the gap between my arm and my chest. And he's just burying his nose in there. And if I didn't say much because I'm speaking, he won't fall asleep, but he'll fall asleep here. Like sometimes I'll watch TV like this. I have a TV, you can sort of see the TV stand behind me, and I'll sit on the couch and watch TV a lot, but sometimes I can't be bothered to move from my desk or I'm doing something in the background, so we'll sit here and watch TV and he'll fall asleep. It's cute. Feta even has some favorite TV shows. I don't see any additional resonant questions, and without my hands being here, I'm kind of limited, so keep the questions coming. Oh, that's a deep and meaningful question. Good, though. Good conversation. Jack asks, I have a pretty good idea of Frix's long-term vision for Resonate, but I'm curious how you see it. What do you want to see Resonate becoming in the future? I think it's more important to like break that up into stages. So like financially and internally, we've broken that down into 3 stages of sort of survive, live, and thrive. And we're currently in the survive phase. And that means like, you know, things are scrappy. And you see it all the time. Like the amount of times I say, I'm sorry, I'm busy. That's the survive phase, right? We are just like battling. And it is a battle on most days to get stuff done because there's so much to do. We can move on there into sort of the live phase. And that's where we're comfortable, right? We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about, is this a successful business? We can just be like, yeah, we're living here. So I'm very much looking forward to live. Probably live would start sort of 2025 sometime. It's just, there's a complete difference between like the struggle that we're feeling right now and being like a 100% stable company that will occur between survive and live. And then the last one there being thrive. And thrive is where we can start doing good things. Like over in thrive, it'll be, all right, we have a good amount of employees. And not only do we have those employees, they're literally employed. They're not contractors. Right now, anyone that's paid by Resonate is a contractor. We're doing it all legally. We're not dodging taxes or anything. Like it's all above board, etc. But legally speaking, the only employee of Resonate is Fruits, right? So we want to fix that one up. Because when we get actual employees in the sort of live phase, we get things like benefits, medical benefits, things like protections and policies and stuff like that. We get structure that will help. But that's like financially. If you mean more product speaking, I want us to sort of get over the hump that we're currently on with it when it comes to 300 users. I want us to get up to like 1,000 active users is probably like a goal I want to see. And I want to see it as early as possible into 2025 as possible. But that's like the next sort of milestone. As for the sort of 5-year journey or long-term, I don't think anyone knows. And I could say a bunch of sort of corpo planning marketing bullshit, but like, it's not true. Like, I know technically what Resonite's going to be, because I understand Fruxx's technical vision. When it comes to the company and the product and people using it and the community, I don't have a clue. So Tig is asking about custom shaders. Custom shaders will be coming once Source is in, but they won't be custom shaders how you're probably looking at them right now. When people think or talk about custom shaders a lot, they think about how the way that Unity does it, which is where you can just drop in a shader language file, it will compile that shader, and then you can use it in Unity. That's not going to happen. You will not be able to write custom shaders in a shader language. You might be able to in the future, but the first iteration of custom shaders is enabling you to write custom shaders in Protoflux. Protoflux is a very cool language that has a lot of features which aren't exposed to people right now. And so a good example of that is different contexts that can be operated upon. So right now, a lot of the Protoflux nodes operate on one of two contexts. There is numbers. And the reason why I say that as a different context is because those don't need to touch anything outside of Fruxx Engine, right? Protoflux can just do the mathematics internal to it. But the other context it can operate in, which is the one that you all use most of the time, is the Fruxx Engine context. The Fruxx Engine context is basically the way that Protoflux communicates with the Fruxx Engine world that they are a part of. But there can be other contexts. And so there will be an audio context where you can do dynamic signal processing on audio. There will be an image context where you can do dynamic signal processing on image data. And there will be a shader context where you can do Protoflux with shaders. Jack, I'm going to have to skip that question with the user-facing vision. I'm not in the right headspace to answer that one right now, and it would just be a bunch of corporate mumbo-jumbo that doesn't mean anything, so I'm just going to skip it. Apologies for that. It's rare that happens, but I am a little bit sick, and I don't have two hands right now. I have one. I have no hands. I have a dog that's asleep. Red says, any idea when the inspector updates will be? This is a when question, so I need to do the when preamble disclaimer. So when people ask when questions, it's very difficult for us to answer because of our limited team size. We cannot answer when questions accurately, so we don't like answering them. We want to do the inspector update as soon as we can, but there are lots of stuff that we need to do before that happens. And so just keep an eye out on announcements. We don't have any sort of time. If I were to tell you 2025... July, that's when we're going to do the inspector update, it would be a lie. It would be 100% a lie. I've got no idea. If I knew, I'd tell you. Early 2020, early 2025, I want to see us break our user record consistently. And I don't want it to be what we usually see, which is a public event happens. Sorry, I'm jumping down to Venport, right, who said 1,000 users in 2025 would be impressive. It would be impressive if it's in the first couple of months. If it's December 2025 and we're able to keep 1,000 users, I would say that we are not on track to where we should be. But definitely early 2025. I just want to see that number break. It's around 300, so I just kind of call it 300. You can argue pennies and dimes with me later if you want. But we seem that we stay at 300 pretty solidly every day from our graphs. It would be great if that had a new ceiling. And if that new ceiling was closer to 1,000 early on in 2025, that would be great. Jumping back up to Phoenix's question, is there a version of custom shaders that doesn't lose out too badly to the current visual coherence of everything having the same PBR style? I don't know. If we allow people to customize the rendering, then they'll make hellscapes. So we'll just have to deal with that when we get there. Venport says, when you're sick, do you drink Tang, eat soup, or some other third thing? I aggressively pound orange juice. And I'm talking liters. It just seems to work. Sorry for the hiccups as well. I ate something that disagreed with me. Jesus, I'm not doing well today. But yeah, I just chug orange juice. For some reason, it works. I always drink orange juice on planes as well. When they come around with their little cart, and hey, would you like a drink? I don't know why Harry Potter flooded into my head, because that's not what an airplane person does. Anything from the trolleys, dude? Yeah, I'll take a keg of orange juice, thanks. I don't advise drinking alcohol on planes. I know lots of people do that. They're like, I'm going on holiday. I must have a glass of champagne in this entirely very cramped coffin full of other people. No, you're drinking water, orange juice. Red asks a second when question, which is fantastic. We can't answer when questions because of our limited engineering resources. And so it's very important to try and avoid asking when. The better way of doing it is like, what is the priority of, or how can I increase the priority of, or what would help you to solve this sooner? Stuff like that. Like, move the conversation on from July, which would be the answer that I could give you. It's not July, by the way. It's just like, if this was a regular software company, we might be able to say July, right? But we can't. But like, that doesn't answer your question. What you want to know is like, you don't want to know that when. You're more interested in like the progression of it. So ask about the priority of it. Ask about how to improve the priority of it. Ask about our prioritization framework and roadmap and all sorts of stuff like that. Those are much healthier questions than me just going, July. Maybe that's what I'll do for when questions, but I'll just invent a month that doesn't exist. Yeah, big update marketplace. It's going to happen in Snosberry. Flanuary. Yes, indeed. Flanuary. That's a good one. Hi, Feta. He's slipping off my he's slipping off my lap, so I'm going to have to reposition him. Hey, no licking. Come on. You're slipping. There you go. I got you. You want to go that way? Okay. There you go. Move this mic close. I'm kind of reclining as he falls asleep. If I'm ever not responsive or you wonder what I'm doing, you know, it's like, oh, what does Prime do in their off time? I watch YouTube with this dog on my lap exactly like this and he falls asleep. Whoa, someone posted C Sharp into office hours. It's great. We get to talk about that now. Oh, yeah, I'm really excited by performance. I just worry that performance might be hiding other issues that we haven't figured out. So like we could say, hey, performance is like the golden pill, but it isn't the golden pill. It's one of the pills, right? And it's very important, and we're going to do it, of course, right? It's fantastic that we're doing it. I don't want to knock anyone that's working on it and saying they're doing the wrong thing. But I worry that it's hiding other issues. So the other issue that I worry about is like how long it takes someone to feel comfortable in the engine, which is another metric that we need to kind of figure out how we can sort of improve. Comfort in a VR space is usually like, my avatar is in, I know how to get it, I know how to edit it, I know where I can go, I know how all the buttons work, stuff like that. Like, we need to improve that. Like, how quickly can we get someone comfortable? This is like, I do this for hours. Like, literally, this dog in this exact pose for hours whilst I watch YouTube. It is the most relaxing thing in the world because this dog weighs like 11 pounds, right? So there's pressure on you, which is good. Look into like pressure therapy if you're interested in that. Something a dog can easily provide, and he's just forcing me to do nothing, right? If I move, he'll be like, what are you doing? He's forcing me to do nothing. It's like great for health. Climber says, can you set your Prometheus to keep data for longer than the default 15 days? I need to do a bunch of sort of architectural work on our server before I do that. So the main server that's running all of that stuff is running a lot of stuff and it's running out of resources. And so I need to like re-architect that before I think it's okay to give more stuff to Prometheus. Moving forward to Climber's question. Oh no, I answered that one. Venport's question. What is your least favorite coding practice? Hi, I'm a dog. Look at my leg. Okay, where was I? The question, yeah. Favorite coding. I'm just going to rephrase the question because it'll be easier to answer. Like, what don't you like when you see coding? Something that I don't like, particularly in C#, is where too much stuff goes into a file. I get it sometimes, right? Sometimes you'll have a class and maybe an enum that's associated with that class in the same file. But like, if you have two classes in a file, I start raising my eyebrows. I don't like that. I get that it's a lot of effort to set up, but once it's done once, you kind of don't have to maintain it. What else don't I like? I don't like Python. I don't really know why. I just don't like Python. I don't know. It's difficult to think about that one. I could swap it around and be like, what's my like good coding practices that I like? And one of them would be naming your variables something other than one letter, right? If I ever see a variable name that's one letter, I change it. I can't stand it. Like, it's faster to type. But it's like, you're typing it? But you just like type like the first couple of letters and push tab. It's fine. It could be like 100 characters long. It doesn't matter. Other things that I don't like are heavily nested code. There's a concept in sort of like clean code where you bail early. So it's like if there's an error, like bail when there's an error. Don't like keep the error state. And you'll see like keeping the error state happening when people nest too much. I'll link a video when the dog gets off my lap, basically. Actually, I've got one hand back. I have one hand. I can do this. I can't use my keyboard because it's too far away, but I can open on-screen keyboard. How do I get to on-screen keyboard? Does anyone know how I get to on-screen keyboard with one hand? Oh, here we go. Settings, ease of access, keyboard, on-screen keyboard, on-screen keyboard. Where are you? Oh, whatever. I'll get you the video when the dog gets off my lap. Next up, Venport says, do you own a weighted blanket? I do. It's been on the top of my wardrobe for years. One of the reasons behind not using it is it's weighted. I know that sounds stupid because that's kind of its point, but I find it difficult to maneuver in bed, so I would rather just not have it. Yosh says, how many sides of your room does your bed touch? One. That's like a good way to like identify like how big someone's apartment or house is, right? How many sides of your room does your bed touch? So a lot of you probably answered two, and some of you answered three to that question, right? If you think about it. But if you only say one, then you know that your bedroom is of reasonable size. Tick says zero. You got the bed in the middle of the room there? I've considered doing that sometimes. I don't actually need like multiple blankets. This guy goes under the covers of the bed and he'll sleep next to me. Like he's learned that he can, like, he's learned that like it's a double bed, basically. He's learned that there's a lot of room. And so I'll frequently find him like a couple of centimeters away from me, but still in bed with me. It's cool. I'm still looking for on-screen keyboard. Oh, I found it. Found it. Hell yeah. All right, here it is. I don't agree with everything that the user of this channel says. And do take that with like a grain of salt. But there's their never nesting video that talks about not nesting. They have this other video where they talk about not writing comments, which I just completely disagree with. Right? This one, I don't agree with any of the contents of that video. They're basically like, don't write comments. Here's all the reasons you shouldn't write them. And I don't agree with any of them. I think you should write more comments. But this isn't Prime Debates comments. This is, I agree with never nesting. I do not agree with comments. Let me see. Let me just go through the other guy's videos. I agree with every single video on their channel, except the one about comments. I haven't watched the never nesting video in a while either. So there might be stuff in there that I don't agree with. But it does talk you through the reason why you should do it. Jack says that, yeah, Jack, that's one of the problems that like he talks about. He says that like people shouldn't write comments because comments get out of date. And I'm like, well, you should bring that up in code review then. If there's a comment that says like, hey, we made this decision 5 years ago because of a business client, and then the PR is undoing that decision, you should delete the comment, right? If you're leaving the comment alone, fail code review. Like, update the comments during your editing of a feature. A really common example of a comment that does get updated is like a to-do comment, right? You'll see like a comment that says to-do, and it says like, improve error handling in this area later. And then you improve the error handling in that later. You delete the to-do comment, but maybe you add more comments to explain how the error handling works. It's great. Anyway, let's see if there's other questions. Red, should I make a new issue about scrolling? No. We've already got an issue about scrolling. That's all we need to do. Don't worry about it. If there's already an issue, go for it. One of the problems of modding, Red, and I give this speech because it's unclear whether you've had it before, is the way that mods operate is they do stuff hackily. Are you going to get off or are you staying here? Because if you get off, we'll turn off the camera. All right, you're just spinning. He does this a lot as well. He'll just like spin on my lap. He's like, what do you want? What do you want, Feta? Hi, Feta. Hi. Come here. Aww. Ba, 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 ba. Are you going to lick my face now? this is Feta's butt cam live at you here. I'll try and proceed with questions. You getting off? Up to you. Yep. Okay. See you later. Look, he's down there. Where's he going now? Feta. Okay, whatever. Where were we? Mods do things in like a hacky way, so we can't take their code and copy and paste it. It just won't work. Nuki says, what did the setups the business clients get look like? Anything really. It depends how much money they want to pay. Your imagination is no limit. Whatever you want to like do. Do they have the same menus? In some cases yes, in some cases no. Do they get cloud homes? In some cases yes, in some cases no. Does someone make them bespoke worlds to meet in? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. How often do they import stuff from the regular public servers? It depends. What kind of special work do you typically do for them? Curses is a good example. Joined by URL is a good example. As for more specialized work, there is going to be probably starting 2025 some work that will eventually benefit the regular community, but won't on the offset, which is we need to look into full compatibility with a model format called IFC. IFC files are used for architectural visualization of buildings and stuff like that. And it means that, like, not only is there geometry, so let's just imagine, like, I don't know, like a multi-story car park. They're good because they're kind of simple when it comes to architecture. They're just like cubes, right? Because they don't have like walls or rooms, right? They're just like concrete floor, concrete floor, concrete floor with like ramps to go between them. Let's say that's an architectural visualization of that. You would import that as a file and you would get not only the visualization of the building, but you would also get the metadata that is contained within the IFC file. So things that might be included would be, what variety of concrete is this concrete slab? Or you might be able to look at, like, say, an electrical conduit, and it will tell you where that conduit goes, or what that conduit does, or what type of wire is inside of that conduit. That's all available in IFC metadata, and they want that exposed somehow in Resonite, so they can sort of like do like analysis of it. Like, you know, there's like crime fighting games where you're a detective and you like you pick up something and you're like a robot. Detroit, maybe, right? Yeah. Actually, yeah, Detroit, where like he goes to like this crime scene. Spoilers for Detroit Become Human here. And like there's some blood on the floor, and in a really like quick series of motions, the android like puts his hand in the blood and then eats it. And that's because like that's how he analyzes the blood. But imagine, instead of requiring the android to eat it, this doesn't make any sense, but we're just going to go with it. You look at the blood on the floor, and then all of the IFC metadata is in there, and then you don't need to eat it. That doesn't make any sense. Just look into it, though. IFC has a bunch of metadata, and they want that exposed somehow in Resonite. So I've got to figure out how to do that. And then the other thing that might benefit, and this is early 2025 again, the other thing that might benefit the Resonite community is they want an easier way for avatar import. But it's a different scale and a different problem to the regular population of avatar importing. What they want is so that each and every employee that uses the platform has a quick and easy way to get an avatar that looks like their physical presence. So this isn't, you know, like a character avatar or a persona or anything like that. They want avatars that look like the physical person that they are, because it's a corporate thing. So what they've been doing historically for that is the company we partner over with in Austria does 3D scanning. So sometimes they'll 3D scan like an employee, and they're able to make an avatar that way. But we want to look into sort of maybe supporting one of the avatar creators, such as Ready Player Me, Avantor, and stuff like that, directly in Resonite, so that you won't have to leave Resonite to use the UI for all of those. It's very early days for that one, and we're not sure which company that we want to look into partnering with, because we have to go speak to that company and be like, hey, let's, you know, shake hands, write paperwork, stuff like that. But we want to look into making that easier. And I want to do that in a way that it does benefit regular users. So the scenario will be, you're a regular user, you're brand new to Resonite, you don't have an avatar. You can import an avatar, or you can choose to create one using this avatar provider. And again, I want to do it in a way where we can add more, because I don't want there being like accidental favoritism there just in the sort of code. It's okay if there's favoritism from a business sense, in that like, this particular software product is paying us money to integrate, so we're obviously going to choose that one. But there should always be the opportunity for us to add more. So I'll do it in a generic way that allows for that. So it might be that if we implement more of those, we'll be like, hey, you want to make an avatar? You've got a choice of Ready Player Me, Feather's Avatar Farm, and Prime's Cheese Land to make an avatar in. But that's cool. Yosh says, Prime, how you get into the Christmas spirit? My one and only Christmas decoration is out and displayed. I don't know where it is, but I didn't put it away, so therefore it must be out. Spiegel says, does any documentation exist for the in-game tools? Wiki's your best bet right now. Red, you're still asking about, like, okay. Whenever you see something that looks or appears simple, and that includes when there's a mod which appears to simply solve the problem, it doesn't solve it simply, and it isn't simple. And we can't just add a toggle. So, in answer to the question, how much would I have to pay as a visitor to get a new Boolean toggle on the scroll rack to make the joystick tilt around and the scroll repeat added? The answer is a bajillion dollars, because we wouldn't do it that way.
Feta's doing like 10% volume barks at me. That usually means they want something. Like, you know, like a really hearty bark that a dog does, usually when the dog thinks they're in danger, maybe like, you know, another dog's coming at them or the doorbell's just gone. That's a really hearty bark, right? It's like, you know, I'm putting a lot of energy into it. Most of Feta's barks are like 10 to 1% volume, and he just goes like, like under his breath at me, like he wants something. It's like a 10% bark. It's really annoying. Quiet you. Nuki's excited about IFC support. IFC is a international standard, so you can actually go to their website and download some files. There's even a viewer that I can provide a link to where you can open some of those up and take a look. And you'll see things like a wall, for example, is blue, and then you click the wall in this IFC viewer and it says, here is the paint code for the paint that you need to buy to make that wall that color. And that's great, right? So imagine the business scenario. An architectural firm creates a IFC architectural diagram of a building. We import it into Resonite with all of that metadata, and they walk around and they have questions. We can just answer them in world with like maybe like an inspector tool or something, you know, and it's like, oh, I really like this room. What's the name of the paint that'll be in this room? And you just like click something or look at something and it goes like, oh, it's like baby blue. Feta, could we stop barking at the front door, please? Do you think you can find it in your heart to stop barking? Thank you. Come here. Come here. Come here. Enough barking. No more. Because of, you know, Resonite being Resonite, at some point we might even be able to go further than that, right? We take the person who is building, you know, commissioning the building through the architectural diagram, and they're like, this room is blue right now, but I would rather it be red. And then we can go, okay, well, we'll mark that in the architectural data that we need to change the paint color, and then resync or export the IFC file back into the architectural software and vice versa, and it'll be really good. For anyone who's commenting that the wiki is bare bones or doesn't have information, like, just go look at the contributions page. I feel guilty every time I see how much the community are editing it, because I'm not editing it at any point at the moment, because like I'm so busy with other things. But like, there is so much information there, but all I hear from people is there's not any information there. Let's like focus on precision of language. So instead of saying there's no information there, the information that I was looking for is not there. Because it's a much healthier conversation. We can go from, like, think about the conversation. Is there any documentation available for Resonite? Yeah, you can check the wiki. Well, there's no information there, full stop, conversation ends. Compared to, have you checked the wiki for documentation? Yes, I checked the wiki, but there wasn't enough information about the cheese tool. That's great feedback. Thank you. I will add an item to my to-do list to write information about the cheese tool into the wiki. Think about the usefulness of your words. Red, you're still hung up on the scroll wreck, right? We will sort it out when we get to it. I don't think there's an input system rework in progress. There probably is, because it's Freeza's engine, but like the scrolling of inspectors will happen when the inspectors get a rework. Let me make sure that we've got... Yeah, I'm looking into Ready Player Me. So like Ready Player Me has got it's got like an SDK. All right, dog. Where the fuck's the dog? He was whining. Like, where are you? I can't see you. He's in his bed. He's fine. What was I talking about? I don't remember what I was talking about. Yeah, so the inspector rework will, I guess, like, try another analogy. It's the inspector is at the same point that the settings are at, which is, like, touching it and editing it is very difficult. So in order to make that better, we have to basically bucket work into is easy to do before we rework inspectors and is easy to do after rework inspectors. And scrolling is one of those things that is easier to do after inspectors are reworked, as is tabulation. And that's the sort of thing where when you push tab, it goes between fields. That's a good example. That's what we're doing there. And I get that it's frustrating, but you have to remember that like every day that one of the engineering team wakes up, myself included, I have to like wade through like a tidal wave of information and items that I could work on and pick something out of that like sea and that tidal wave of nonsense and do it. Actually, saying nonsense is probably like unfair. I don't mean nonsense. I apologize. That tidal wave of very valid things that should be done. Some of it is nonsense, but like very valid things that need to happen. Wade through it, find out what I can spend my time on today, pick it up and do it, and then see it through. It's exhausting.
I believe that's it for questions. If there are any additional questions like I might have missed, please do let me know. I don't see them. I just realized we're at time as well. Shockquill says, have you been surprised about any of the ways that businesses have wanted to use Resonite? Yes, the university that's doing not research was surprising. So I think, I don't know if it's correct to sort of label the not research as geometry, but like it feels geometric. So geometry is a very like weird thing that people study, but they do. And it goes sort of like, it's weird because like it's like it's beyond what you're thinking of when I say geometry. It's like, how far can we push like the rules of geometry to like understand our world? A good example is that like tiling tile thing. Let me see if I can find it. I remember like well, there's Penrose tiles, which never tile, but there's this like weird shape that someone made that like mathematicians couldn't figure it out, but then like a truck driver figured it out or something. I don't remember like what the Google term to like get to that whole spiel. Yes, there we go. That one. That's exactly the one. Thanks, Aegis. That is the sort of like, that was a humongous amount of geometrical research that I just didn't understand why someone would do it, right? It's like, why is this important? And that's the sort of like weird stuff that's going on with that knot research. So they're looking at like knotted rope, or I think just knots in general. So it's like, you know, like when it comes into mathematics, it sort of loses meaning in the physical world, but they're looking into sort of how stuff overlaps and interfaces with each other mathematically when it comes to knotting rope. And if you wonder why, I don't really know why, but you can go ask them about it. If you still have questions, go for it. Like if you've still got a question, go for it. But we'll stop questions after like the next little batch. Yeah. How does this? Well, we also had MMC. We had the rose curved surface, where someone took some pre-existing geometrical mathematical algorithms that made some pretty shapes, and then they expanded them into Resonite and added some more mathematics to it, and they made some really pretty shapes. Venport says, why do we have value tag as a component? Do I have Visual Studio open? I do. That means I can go find out why. Okay. Sorry, I giggled because like it's not used anywhere. We don't use this component. So now I'm running a git blame on it to see when it was added. Unfortunately, our git blame isn't that useful because at a certain point, it just says like, added files, because it was before we used git. All right, apparently I touched value tag in 2022. I don't remember doing that. But yeah, value tag was, let me see. Yeah, value tag was just like, the first time it was touched was when we initialized the git repository, which is not useful at all. It was touched in 2021 as a part of, like, it's not used though. It's basically another value field. If I look at the source code of it, it basically is just another value field, which is very strange. Oh, maybe it's used via interface, actually. Hold on. Interesting. It also has XML comments, so I can read those to you, not that they help. A component which holds an arbitrary value without any additional information. Yeah, that's a value. That's a value field, basically. Red is... actually, we've got a bunch of questions here. Value tags done. No more questions. I said the next batch. The next batch is done. Red, is there any plans to pre-cache, pre-package certain assets than the game downloads? Yes. That should be happening. I don't know what we include in our pre-cache, but I know that we do include something. If you go to our installation folder, I'm going there right now because otherwise I'll get this wrong. But if you go there and then you go inside, where is it? Yes. So go to the installation folder, go to runtime data, then pre-cache. It's empty because I looked at the downloaded version. Sorry, my local build. Let's go manage browse local files on the Steam version. Yeah. Runtime data precache, you'll see that there's a bunch of stuff in there. That's all stuff that's downloaded with the game. I don't know what's included in there, but there's 537 megabytes of stuff. I need to double check that has everything. I don't know when it was last done, but like I'm certain that like Fruks is keeping that out. There is not a runtime data. There is a runtime data folder. Where am I? What am I doing? All right, so... oh, here's value tag, by the way, to see how simple it is. Steam, manage, browse local files, runtime data, precache, And then look at all this stuff. I don't know when that was last updated, though, so it might need updating. And with that, we're out of questions. So I'm going to go ahead and leave off here, and I will speak to you guys soon. You can do dash generate precache, and I frequently do that with our business clients to add the business-specific stuff that they need on top of our regular precache, but I don't know the state of our regular precache. Like, I don't know if it's sorted or good or anything like that. Jack, please separate those out into separate files. It just... I understand, like, at a certain point, yeah, I go for it, but, like, you know, I will speak to you guys later. If you've got any additional questions, DM me, posting questions and help, and I'll speak to you later. As is tradition, I do the first half of uploading it whilst I'm still here, so I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now.